Chapter 4. The fields of Uthir could be felt long before they were seen. Their stifling heat spilled across the domain like a blast of dragonfire. Only the hardiest of creatures braved the desolation surrounding the region. Steely weeds that nestled in the shelter of rocks, and ugly lice-like bugs that burrowed beneath the hot sands. The thrice-blessed marched across this blighted expanse, their armored boots digging deep furrows in the parched land. Thrall trotted along behind the warriors, pausing every now and again to renew the spells that enabled him to endure the ghastly heat.
"Does it never rain in this hell?"
Othmar growled, fingers twitching on his sword. Thrall chuckled darkly.
"None that would quench your thirst," he said. "The storms of Uthir are things of boiling lead and ash. If you want water, you must stray far from our course."
Othmar turned to glower at the wizard.
"If you can endure, then so can I," he declared.
The wizard smiled at Othmar.
"If I told you that the clouds you see on the horizon are simply fumes rising from the flames of Uthir, would that cheer you?"
Othmar looked at the black expanse stretching across the sky.
"Not particularly," he grumbled as he pressed on.
Jucius shook his head and waved his hand at the smoke.
"It seems the worst is yet to come. It's hard to imagine a blaze that could create such smoke."
"The fires of Uthir have been burning since the founding of Shard," Thrall said, his eyes gleaming with the memory of his vanished nation. "Even the prismatic king could do little to tame this part of his domain."
The Celestant Prime laid his hand reverently against the head of Gal Maraz.
"The sorcerer may have failed to overcome this land, but the power of the God King will overcome him. He will atone for his evils and confess his secrets. With the threat of Gal Maraz before him, even a sorcerer might reveal the truth."
A scowl formed on Thrall's face.
"So long as he doesn't confess his secrets too easily," he grumbled. "It's been a long walk from the swamp to be cheated of watching the prismatic king suffer."
Against all hope, the heat grew worse when the stormcasts reached Uthir itself. Each breath they drew felt as though it must sear their lungs. A mortal warrior would have cooked within his armour before he could begin the climb out from the sandy waste and onto the fields. A lesser metal than sigmarite would have become blisteringly hot from the mephitic atmosphere that surrounded them. The fields of Uthir were a scorched morass of cinder and ash, gutted and scarred by streams of molten lead and boiling copper. Geysers of volcanic fumes exploded from yawning pits, dancing in fiery gyrations as they billowed upwards. Great pinnacles of pumice, their faces carved into the tormented shapes of the damned, thrust themselves up from the hellish terrain, piercing the smothering miasma of smoke. Thrusting its way through the fire and slag, supported upon ethereal peaks of shimmering heat, was a great tunnel of volcanic glass, rippling with strange colours, exuding weird harmonics that wailed across the bubbling din of the fields around them. The glassy channel cut across the fiery terrain. The shifting intensity of the heat that supported it caused the tunnel to pitch and roll, undulating like some vast serpent.
"There," Thrall declared, pointing into the tunnel. "That is the foundation upon which the prismatic king raised his eyrie. That is the place to which his fortress must return."
The Celestant Prime gazed into the cavernous passage. Navigating it seemed impossible, an insurmountable obstacle. Yet he remained undaunted. The prismatic king held the key to both the realm gate and the missing thrice-blessed. Whatever obstacles the lands of Shard put in his way, he would achieve Sigmar's purpose and confront the disciple of Tzeentch.
"And that is where our path leads us," the Celestant Prime declared.
He cast his gaze across the stormcasts.
"Have courage, brothers. However arduous the task, know that if it is Sigmar's will that we succeed, then only our own lack of faith can bring us to ruin."
Jucius bowed his head.
"By the grace of the God King, let none of us be found unworthy," he said.
"Can we be certain that the eyrie will appear where the wizard claims it will?"
Othmar asked.
"It is only by his word that..."
"His word has led us this far,"
the Celestant Prime reminded him.
"It is late to doubt him now."
As he spoke, He turned and nodded to Thrall. At every step, the wizard's advice had felt right in a manner more compelling than conventional logic or wisdom. In a way he couldn't explain, he knew they weren't being led astray. Perhaps it was the wizard's fierce desire for revenge. Perhaps it was the hand of Sigmar upon the Stormcast's soul. Perhaps it was something deeper, buried within his very essence. He couldn't say. All that he was certain of was that when the dusk came, they would find the Eyrie standing just where Thrall had promised them it would appear.
No mean feat, Othmar declared, fingers tapping. A tunnel of black glass floating in a sea of flame.
A simple task for those with a small and simple faith, Jucius said. Cast aside your worry, brother, and rejoice that Sigmar has deemed us worthy of such a trial.
The Celestant Prime strode out onto the fields, feeling the burning rocks searing at his Sigmarite boots.
Rejoice when we are through the tunnel, and the Eyrie stands before us, he advised.
The Stormcasts followed him out across the scorched crust of Uthir. The burning rocks splintered and cracked beneath their armored weight, fraying and splitting with every step they took. At times, ugly holes would appear, vomiting toxic vapors in a spray of steam. Once, a great fissure opened as Jucius advanced across the field, nearly swallowing the warrior as the surface crumbled away. The Celestant Prime flew to the Liberator's side and pulled the imperiled warrior back from the edge, hurling him back with a display of his prodigious strength. The champion stared down at the roiling river of glowing magma that yawned below, appreciating how utterly the molten fire would have consumed his comrade.
Oh, the ground is too treacherous, Othmar cursed. We will never reach the tunnel.
Thrall hurried towards the Celestant Prime. Lacking the armor and superhuman vitality of the Stormcasts, the wizard depended upon his magic to guard him from the hostility of Uthir. As he sprinted across the blackened ground, patches of rock disintegrated under even his comparatively light tread.
My spells can show you the way, Thrall shouted to the hero. Then use your magic,
Jucius ordered the man. Thrall shook his head.
It isn't so simple, he warned.
Shifting his gaze back to the Celestant Prime, he hurried to explain.
Only my magic protects me from the fire and heat. If I turn my mind to a new conjuration, I will lose my focus. The spells that protect me will dissipate.
The Celestant Prime nodded towards the magma flowing at the bottom of the fissure.
Without a safe path, many of us may be lost before we gain the stair. It may be that Sigmar has sent you to us to overcome this obstacle.
He looked across the flames at the sinister tunnel. It seemed as distant as when they had first set out across the fields.
If one of us were to carry you, would you be able to turn your mind to the magic that will show us a safe path?
The wizard scratched at his chin. His gem-like eyes blazed as he considered the Celestant Prime's words.
Maybe the God King did allow our paths to cross, he mused. Maybe it is fate that has cast us together. Yes, I think if you were to carry me across, I could focus my energies on exposing a safe path through the fields.
Jucius came between Thrall and Galmaraz.
You are the bearer of the Godhammer, he told the Celestant Prime. It is unseemly that you should be asked to carry the wizard alongside the holiest of holies. Let me carry Thrall across the fields.
The Celestant Prime let his hand brush across the golden head of his hammer, feeling its sacred power crackle under his fingers.
It will be as you say, Jucius, the hero decided.
He fixed his eyes on Thrall.
Begin your conjurations, wizard. We must be through the passage before twilight.
Jucius reached down and lifted Thrall from the rocks. As soon as his feet were clear of the burning ground, Thrall closed his eyes and began to murmur to himself, strange incantations whispering across his lips. The Celestant Prime could see tendrils of etheric energy being drawn into the wizard's body, dancing and writhing about him in ropey coils of light. At the same time, he could see luminous patches blaze into life all across the fields.
Where the light shines, the ground is firm!
Thrall spat the words in a hurried gasp, then quickly resumed his incantation. The Celestant Prime raised the Godhammer overhead, fixing the attention of every Stormcast upon him.
Follow the light.
Make for the Shining Ground and keep to its path.
Balancing haste against caution, the thrice-blessed picked their way across the fields of Uthir. Stretches of blackened earth separated the patches of safe ground revealed by Thrall's magic. Here the rocks splintered and crumbled beneath the warriors, threatening them with immolation as jets of hot gas spewed up from the ground or pits of magma were exposed. Despite the promise of an excruciating death, the men pressed on, moving from one expanse of stable ground to the next.